another Southeast Asian Games is almost done, in case anybody has noticed. And another dismal result for the national team. There will again be the usual recriminations and blaming. We will hear officials resolve to do better next time. But I think it will go back to the same cycle of lack of real preparation until the next dismal result. Well, sports is an arena not just for the skilled players. Much of it is a matter of training and preparation. As somebody said, victory is 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration. Discipline, training, this is what separates a good athlete from the average one. Now, what I have always said is that this principle, which is that of discipline and training and pain in order to attain excellence in athletics, in sports, that principle holds true in life. And certainly in the Christian life, as well as in church life. And in this anniversary month of our church, we do well to review this truth as it applies to us. Now, while our morning series, as I've explained, as well as our Sunday school, are taking a perspective of all the 30 years of our church life, our afternoon series is weighing more particularly our 30th year. Of course, this is true of all the 30 years, but the 30th year has given us a more solid testimony to the truth that we are addressing. This year, 2011, as I've said time and again, will go down in our church history as one of the most memorable. We wept much, yet at the same time, we rejoice for the gains and the evident fruitfulness in our ministries. And in summary of what we have gone through this year, 2011, I am using the line of a hymn that says, "Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end." And that's a good summary, I think. Through thorny ways to a joyful end. God's way in supplying joy is not by way of easy experiences. God's way in supplying joy to His people is through the thorny path. Ang paraan ng Panginoon sa pagbibigay, pagkakaloob ng kagalakan sa ating buhay ng pananampalataya, sa ating buhay bilang iglesia, ay malimit na tumatahak sa madawag, sa matinik, sa masakit na mga daan. And what I am doing in this series is making some pairs of what is thorny on one side and only to lead to something joyful on the other side. And I believe that these pairs have been true of us in this 30th year of our church. The first pair in this series is a distinctive that we have maintained over the years in our evangelism, contrary to the average methodology. This pair are conviction and conversion. The thorn of conviction of sin leads to the joy of conversion by faith. Ang una nating pares ay ang sumbat sa kasalanan at pagkakaligtas sa pamamagitan ng pananampalataya, pinagsasama sila. Mararanasan natin ang sakit ng sumbat sa kasalanan upang tayo ay makarating sa kagalakan ng kaligtasan sa paraan ng pananampalataya. So the first pair is conviction and conversion. The second pair we saw last week is that of affliction and sanctification. The thorn of affliction is productive of the joy of sanctification. Ang sakit ng mga kahirapan, mga pagtitiis, ay namumunga ng kagalakan ng kabanalan. Muli makikita natin ang katotohanan ng pagpaparis sa dalawang yan, ang mga kahirapan at ang kabanalan ay pinagsama sa buhay ng pananampalataya. Our last pair in this brief series I particularly apply to the church. And the third pair is tribulation and expansion. I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 14. We'll read from verse 19 to verse 28. The book of Acts chapter 14, verses 19 to 28. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. And when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Now the events that are narrated here are in the middle of what is called the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul with his team. In fact, we are looking at the concluding part of the first missionary journey. And what we encounter in this missionary journey of Paul is that in almost every place, we find opposition to his mission. Dito sa unang misyon ni Apostol Pablo, halos sa bawat lugar na kanyang dinalaw, kasama ng kanyang pangkat, ay sila'y kinalaban, nagkaroon sila ng mga taga-usig. We find coalition of Jews and Gentiles who will harass Paul and his team. And this is quite surprising that Jews will join with Gentiles in this one project of harassment of Paul. Jews will never have company with Gentiles, but for this one interest, it's like the enemy of your enemy is my friend. So they join together in order to harass Paul and his missionary team. And so we see Apostle Paul being at the receiving end of harassment, persecution. The worst case happened in Lystra. Paul was stoned. And so seriously was he hurt that those who stoned him in fact thought he was dead and they left. Of course, that wasn't the case. But far from deterring the mission, we see Paul displaying both courage and commitment as a faithful missionary. And then Luke, as the narrator of the book of Acts, follows the narrative in their tour back to the churches. This time, their missionary tour back to those churches or those places that once persecuted them, this time, fruitfulness met them. From persecution in the initial visit, in the return visit, there was now fruitfulness. It was attended with fruitfulness. And then we find the summary of their encouragement to the churches in verse 22 in the words, "Through many tribulations, we must enter," or more accurately, "we must conduct ourselves in the kingdom of God." I draw this message as a final message in this series. The thorny path of tribulation is the way to joyful expansion of mission. Ang matinik na daan ng kapighatian ay ang paraan sa kagalakan ng paglaganap ng mission. The thorny path of tribulation is the way to joyful expansion of mission. Well, last week, we looked at a similar principle, but as applied to the Christian life, that the thorn of affliction is productive of the joy of sanctification. My emphasis there is more on the sanctification of the individual believer. Tribulation, when used in the New Testament, while it can be used for the individual sometimes, yet the dominant association is with the church. Kapag ginamit itong tribulation, kapighatian, malimit na ang karugtong nito ay iglesia. Nakita natin ito rito. The exhortation of Paul to the churches was that they should continue in the faith, and through many tribulations, the church is associated with tribulations. This is what the church is going through. What we see in the New Testament churches is something that we know of our own experience this year. Tribulation. But tribulation that leads to expansion. Why is that the case? What is the place of tribulation in the experience of the church? And why do we make these two a pair, that is tribulation and expansion? Two roles of tribulation in the life of the church. First, it is necessary for a persevering church. Kailangan ito para sa isang nagpapatuloy na iglesia. Necessary for a persevering church. And secondly, it is preparatory to an expanding church. Paghahanda ito sa paglumalaganap na iglesia. It is preparatory to an expanding church. First of all then, let us see the role of tribulation first. Necessary for a persevering church. When the missionary team of Paul was making a return visit to the churches, they have this message. They were strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. What we have here is the message of perseverance. Continue in the faith. Through many tribulations. This continuing in the faith is through many tribulations. And yet, you find this connected to the kingdom of God. We are doing this not as though we have to just bear the pain and just wait for heaven to come. No, that's not the point. Even as we are going through the tribulation, there the kingdom of God is being displayed. In other words, to persevere as a church amidst tribulation displays God's kingdom glory in this world. This is a beautiful thought. Now, we saw last week that there are those who are teaching that Christians who please God will not have to suffer any affliction. Their message is, a Christian who pleases God should be able to experience all the favors of God. There should be no poverty, no sickness, or at the very least, when sickness comes, it can easily be removed by faith. And I told you that that is a false teaching. Now, there is a version of that that applies to the church. It is taught that the church that is blessed by God will be a growing church with happiness as its character. And again, just as it is wrong in application to the individual Christian, so it is wrong in applying to the church that tribulation is not its lot if the church is pleasing the Lord. Yet this idea dominates in many churches, and you see this in the culture of so-called mega churches, as though being mega is the proof of blessing. You see the dominant style of worship in what they call praise and worship is the happy, celebratory style. But that is not true. The churches we have in the New Testament are churches undergoing tribulation. And indeed, Paul's message to the churches contains the word of necessity. Through many tribulations, we must. He didn't say we might or you may, some will. No, it is a must. Through many tribulations, we must. It is not an option. It is a necessity. We must enter the kingdom of God through tribulations. Now, I want to focus on that, on those words, enter the kingdom of God, because they can be so easily misinterpreted as going to heaven. No, Paul is not saying that. He is not saying that through many tribulations, we will go to heaven. The kingdom of God denotes the rule of God that has become present in Christ. Pag sinabing kaharian ng Diyos, hindi yan tumutukoy sa langit lamang. Ang kaharian ng Diyos ay yung bumabana na pag-ahari ng Diyos sa pamamagitan ng Yesu Kristo. Nang si Yesu Kristo ay nabuhay dito sa mundo at siya'y namatay sa krus, nabuhay mula sa mga patay, sinabing siya'y iniluklok sa kaharian. Meron ng umiiral na kaharian dito. At ang buhay ng iglesia ay pamumuhay sa kaharian. So this is not just entering into heaven. This is conducting your life as under the kingdom of God. And that's the inaccuracy of the translation enter. The word for enter is simply that of moving from one space to another. As a matter of fact, this is the same Greek word for exiting. You can as easily translate this as going out, as entering, because the idea is not really entering. The idea is moving. So the point is that the church conducting itself under the rule of the kingdom, one characteristic of that church is that it will have tribulations. As we live as a church under the rule of God, that's a reality we cannot escape. Indeed, it is the very fact that the church lives by God's rule that she will invite tribulation in this world. That's what Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room discourse. In this world, you shall have tribulations. There is this idea taught in many churches that the great tribulation is yet to come. And that's the tribulation period of 7 years sometime into the future, just before Christ comes again completely. And that is not the teaching of the scriptures. There will be some periods of greater tribulations than others, but the church is always going through tribulations in this world. Yet the church is the community of the kingdom of God on earth precisely as she is prepared to undergo tribulations in the name of her God. No other community on earth is the community of the kingdom of God. Yan ang tandaan natin, iglesia lamang ang komunidad ng kaharian ng Diyos dito sa mundo, hindi ang anumang bansa, hindi ang anumang organisasyon, ang iglesia lamang. It is a sad thing that many groups which retain the name church in their corporate identity yet have eroded into communities of politics, seeking political power, aligning themselves under politicians. Other churches have become communities of the market, of the number game, of money profit. And that is not where the church is to live under. That is not where the church is to persevere in. What did Paul say the churches should continue in? The words are unambiguous. Continue in the faith. The same thing I said this morning. Pagkakaisa sa pananampalataya. At yung pananampalataya doon, hindi yung tayo ang sumasampalataya, kundi yung sinasampalatayanan. Continue in the faith. This, by the grace of God, is what we have done in 30 years. This, by the grace of God, is what we have had to do in this 30th year of tribulation. We can't say we are bursting in number. During elections, politicians will not seek us. But what we can say is that we have the faith. We are continuing in the faith. It is the faith that this world needs to hear from the church. The church needs to tell the world Jesus reigns. And if you are not under his rule, then you are outside the realm of grace. And the day is coming at the consummation of the kingdom when the king is going to punish those who do not belong to him. And this is what we need to be passionate about as a church. I am reading now the recently published biography of Steve Jobs, who recently died. And this man had many flaws. He would often rub the skin of his subordinates. And in the early days of his career, he even had hygienic problems. But one thing about this man, he was passionate about his products. He believed from the Macintosh to the iPod, iPad, he believed in them. And it reveals whenever he would face an audience to market his product. Well, I don't believe that there is more importance to a Mac or to an iPod or iPad than the gospel. And if a man like Jobs can be passionate about those gadgets, the church should be passionate about the kingdom of God, about the gospel of the kingdom. So the challenge is, let the rule of Christ be our church's preserving grace through our tribulations. Kapag dumaraan tayo sa mga kapighatian, itong paghahari ni Kristo ang maging motibasyon nating magpatuloy kahit pa tayo namimighati. It is here displayed in the mission of Paul in various places attended with persecution. This particular experience of tribulation in these places had been evidently seared in Paul's memory. The evidence of that is that in the very last letter he wrote, the second letter to Timothy, he would again make mention of this experience. Listen to this in 2 Timothy 3:10 and following. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, back in those places. And those were many years in the past when he wrote 2 Timothy. And yet, evidently, the pains of that period seared the Apostle Paul that did not leave his memory. And yet, out of that experience, he draws the principle right here, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution or tribulation. Yet, he says, in all of them, the Lord delivered me. We may want to set up an interview with Paul and demand, delivered you, Paul? How can you say it is deliverance when you died in execution? How can you say it's deliverance when the last days of your life were spent in a dirty dungeon of a Roman cell and you didn't die a hero's death but had your head cut off by a Roman swordsman? How can you say deliverance? What the point is that he died keeping the faith, and that's perseverance. And that is the Christian's deliverance, that is the church's deliverance, to persevere, keeping the faith. And that's, by the grace of God, is what we are seeking to do. We may not have wealth, influence, and power, we have the faith. We suffered much this year, but by the grace of God, we will finish this year keeping the faith. Because when we wept, we believed that Christ rules, that we are a church to promote that rule. And even when we were the victim of a dastardly crime, we kept our composure because Christ rules. And this is something that is reason to give glory to our God through the suffering and tribulation of this year. 30 years, that's something that is not to crow about. Last April and May, I ministered a series of messages in a church in Wattisham, the United Kingdom. That church, this coming 2013, will be celebrating its 250th year. Founded in 1763, 100 years before the Gettysburg Address of President Abraham Lincoln. Abot kaya tayong 200 man lang? Well, we can never tell. But the point is that every year that we persevere is a testimony to the grace of God. Because every year has its own version of tribulation, as we had this year, perhaps the most painful. But the reason is they are necessary for the perseverance, for the persevering church. A second point of the place of tribulation is it is preparatory to an expanding church. Ang kapighatian ay paghahanda sa lumalaganap na iglesia. Again, take note that in the places that the missionary team was persecuted, they still made a return visit. That would already be something to marvel at. Eh kung nausig na sila ron, palagay ko ang natural na damdamin ay wag nang balikan. But exactly after visiting more places, founding more churches, they went back to those places, Lystra, Iconium, until they returned to Antioch. But this time, where before they were harassed and persecuted, this returned visit proved fruitful. The churches were growing. Opportunities were opening. Eldership was being established. Those are all signs of fruitfulness in the churches. What does that teach us? It teaches us that the pain of tribulation is, by God's arrangement, I call it the labor pains for fruitfulness. Birth pangs. I use the analogy of labor pains deliberately because the literal meaning of tribulation in its original Greek is labor pain. Birth pangs. When a mother is in labor, it could be the most physically painful experience for a woman. So I was told, and so I read, which I'll never know personally. But it could be the most painful physical experience for a woman. But she willingly goes through that pain. Some, in fact many, even go through it several times in her lifetime. For what? For the joy of the birth of life. Tinitiis niya yung sakit na yon dahil sa kagalakan ng isisilang na buhay. And so the analogy is perfect. This is the tribulation associated with the church. And why are we to go through it? It too is intended for the birth of life. This is the tribulation associated with the church. It is a life-giving tribulation. It is a fruit-bearing tribulation. Those who want fruitfulness the easy way will avoid tribulation. And they will resort to the easy way like gimmicks. But brethren, we have a most noble mission on earth. And for that to expand, to bear fruit, we just have to go through the tribulations that go with it. We need each other in the path of tribulation. And this is the challenge to us. Keep our fellowship intact in the time of tribulation to rejoice together in fruitfulness. Kailangan natin ng pagsasama-sama sa panahon ng kapighatian. Doon kailangan ang fellowship. The problem with some Christians is that they enjoy the blessings but they do not much else. It's like the barnacles that you see attached on the skin of a whale. Now that's not parasitism. It's called scientifically commensalism. The idea is the attached barnacles are gaining from the whale. The whale is neither harmed nor affected positively. Walang epekto sa whale. Yung barnacles lang ang nakikinabang. Well, sometimes some Christians can be like that in the church. They will say, I'm not harming the church, I'm not causing trouble, and that's good, but not good enough. It's not enough that you're not causing trouble, and perhaps you are being blessed, but you're not doing, well, if anyone is not doing much else, that's like barnacles on a whale. What we need is fellowship intact in time of tribulation. This is what happened at the conclusion of the first missionary journey. They were back in the church of Antioch, which commended them. And we are told when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Without doubt, it was a joyful assembly because every step of the way, the church was together in tribulation. And Paul maintained this perspective on his own tribulation. He saw how it spilled over its effects on the churches. When he was imprisoned, I believe in Caesarea, when he wrote the Philippian letter, he said in Philippians 1:12, I want you to know that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Nakikita niya yung bunga para sa ebanghelyo, para sa misyon, nung kanyang pinaghihirapan. This is the way of God so that His glory might be His. Paul said again in 2 Corinthians 4:7, this treasure is in earthen vessels so that the power may be of God and not of us. Bakit yung kayamanan ay nasa isang babasaging sisidlan, isang mumurahing sisidlan, upang ang kapangyarihan ay makitang sa Diyos lamang? And if a church that has no clout, no influence, no fame, yet perseveres through tribulation, the power is of God. This is also God's way so that He may instill in us a maturity that exercises trust in God's power. Without tribulation, how easy it is for us to congratulate ourselves and applaud our methods. But under tribulation, the church rediscovers the depth of fellowship in prayer and mutual help. This is what we need to maintain in this membership, in our fellowship, that in times of tribulation, we are together. Then we can rejoice together. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So under tribulation, we treasure the resulting fruit with gratitude to God. And again, we can only cite as proof the tribulation we have gone through this year as we wept over a departed brother and we felt what now of the ministry, that the many ministries he has undertaken. And yet God proves that as we mourn over his departure, we rediscover the availability and the ministry that others may be holding back. And that is expansion through tribulation. It is a happy fellowship to share in the blessings, yes. But I say it is a deeper fellowship to share in tribulation. When Charles Spurgeon was in his last months of his life and he could not attend to his pulpit ministry any longer, he invited an American preacher to take over his pulpit. The name of that preacher was A.T. Pearson. And when A.T. Pearson handled the pulpit ministry, one thing impressed him about the Metropolitan Tabernacle. He wrote back to his church in Philadelphia and said this, "The Metropolitan Tabernacle is a house of prayer, most emphatically." No wonder, and no marvel that Mr. Spurgeon's ministry has been so blessed. Why may not the whole church learn from the Metropolitan Tabernacle that the way of God's blessing is by affliction so that he may teach his people to pray? And this is a lesson that we need to learn. In times of tribulation, we are being trained to be a praying church, to be a church in fellowship, not in the fun, the joy, which have their place, but in the fellowship of prayer. And brethren, for 30 years, we have maintained despair of the thorny way to a joyful end of tribulation to expansion, this 30th year has been sharpened to us as far as the prayer is concerned. We will still have tribulations to go through in the years to come. But one thing we can maintain, for every tribulation, there is an arranged fruitfulness that God is going to give so that the glory may be His. And the only thing we can resolve by the grace of God is what we have promised, to serve our Lord Jesus to the end. And with that, let us sing our last hymn. O Jesus, I have promised to serve Thee to the end. Be Thou forever near me, my Master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if Thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if Thou wilt be my guide. May that be our resolve as we have gone through tribulation this year. We will go through more in the years to come. But one constant, Jesus remains seated as King. No one will remove Him from His throne. Let's close in prayer. Madakila naming Diyos at Ama, nawa may ipaalala mo sa amin na iyong pinagtambal ang mga kapighatian sa buhay ng iglesia upang makaranas ng kagalakan ng pamumunga at paglalaganap. At ito ang tunay nga na pinagdaanan namin bilang iglesia sa taong ito, at napatunayan namin ang katotohanan ng prinsipyong ito, that indeed the thorn of tribulation is your means for a joyful expansion of the mission of the church. This is our testimony this year. Indeed, the place of tribulation we have proved to be necessary for a persevering church. And we need to be a persevering church, persevering in the faith. This is the one thing that we need to safeguard. We do not aspire to be a church that is influential in terms of politics, in terms of market and money. We aspire rather, by your grace and blessing, to be a church that will continue in the faith. But for us to do so, you have placed tribulation as the path of perseverance. And indeed, as we go through such a path, may we bear in mind that we do so as the community of the kingdom of Christ. And therefore, it is the rule of Christ that we hold fast to in those times of tribulation. And by that, we can display the kingdom glory of our God as we persevere through tribulation. We indeed testify that through those periods of mourning that our church has gone through this year, what has sustained us is the firm conviction that Christ rules, that even a dastardly crime will not unseat our King from His throne. And therefore, by your grace, we have persevered, and we therefore accept the place of tribulation as necessary for a persevering church to display your kingdom glory. And yet, it is also preparatory to an expanding church, for our mission to expand. And we see this in the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul, and this is duplicated in many ways. And we have seen this in our own church life in the year 2011, how through the tribulation, through the pains and the weeping, you have shown that we have so much more to give and to reap in the ministries of the church. And so we accept wholeheartedly the mystery of your providence, that for fruitfulness to give glory to you, we must be proven to be earthen vessels. For expansion to spill over into the ministries of the church, we may have the tribulation. Indeed, as Paul revealed in his letters, how that period of being in Lystra, Iconium, Antioch have been seared in his memory. So we do have our own tribulations seared upon our memory, yet those are the very means whereby you prepare us for fruitfulness. And so grant that we may make our fellowship intact and hold fast together in the times of tribulation. Make us a fellowship, not so much of fun as of prayer, pleading, and it happens by way of tribulation. So help us, Lord, to embrace even the tribulation we may need to go through in the years to come, and that we may therefore accept your sovereign ways, believing that you are our Father. You never afflict your people willingly, but only for the purpose of giving us that which will be for our good and for the glory of your kingdom. So we pray that we will be those who have truly resolved to follow and serve the Lord Jesus, even through tribulations. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.